Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Brizzy-Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli. If you'd like to be a part of my new solo album, please visit marcinnovelli.com/pledge.
This week, we're joined by South Carolina-based singer-songwriter Noah Guthrie. Noah's cover of Sexy and I Know It went viral and led to features on NBC's Today Show, Jay Leno's Tonight Show, and Dancing with the Stars.
He's also opened concerts for Ed Sheeran, Cobra Starship, and Selena Gomez, to name a few. And in 2013, he released his debut album, Among the Wildest Things. And in 2015, he landed a feature role in Glee, starring as Roderick. We're excited to hear about Noah's journey and the advice he'd offer to fellow musicians. So hi, Noah.
Hi, how are you guys?
Not too bad.
We are doing well.
Awesome. Yes, we are. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's super hot here though. So
where are you?
Just still in South Carolina. Yeah.
Okay. So we are bringing Canada, the UK, and America together here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are
together.
Something new and called the internet. Something.
Like that. Yeah. I'm still figuring.
Yeah, hilarious.
So funny. Actually, I want to just kind of just drop it in here. I mean, it's actually Gabe Dixon, our past guest, who has brought us all together. Because, Noah, I think you watched Gabe's interview and you tweeted to say that you enjoyed it. And then I checked out your music and I had a little bit of a cry while I was listening to it. It just caught me at the right time.
True.
Your voice.
He's being
your
serious.
Voice, I mean, I wasn't full on crying.
No, he does. Just, he cries if you, like, say anything to him. If you say, like, a cat is cute, he'll cry. So, I mean...
I'm an easy cry. I'm definitely an easy cry. Gabe is fantastic. I was, you know, really happy to watch his interview and pretty much anything he does. I really like, you know, either being a part of or just watching and kind of seeing where he goes. He's fantastic. So, you know, huge thanks to him for, you know, I guess bridging this gap here. So
absolutely.
Definitely
shout
did.
Out to you, brother. Now let's get back to you and have you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
All right. So I would say I'm pretty shy. When I, you know, first get to know people, I'm a pretty shy guy, kind of introverted. I've grown up around music my whole life. It's always been a part of me. You know, my dad was a singer. My stepmom was a singer. I was always in the studio growing up, and you know, it was just kind of bound to happen. And then I guess the other thing would just be I'm kind of an old soul. You know, I guess in an industry where everything is very much pop, pop, pop all the time, I still kind of linger more towards the older way of doing things. Even though I love all types of music, I still am just very much like love analog things. I love, you know, the old sound of things and just always kind of have. So yeah, I guess if I was just going to describe myself in a nutshell very quickly, I would say those things. Yeah.
Nice. Sorry.
It's interesting you say that, because at the same time you do take advantage, I think, of, you know, modern technology and the idea of using YouTube and covering songs to get your name out there, which I think is smart. Because that's exactly what you've done. You started recording your own interpretations of songs on YouTube. I'd love for you to tell us a little about your journey and what advice you'd offer to others who are interested in doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head. Yeah. So, I really like the old style of stuff, but I use all the new technology to, you know, use them as tools and try to get my name out there. And it is such a different, it's such a different thing now. You know, a few years ago, YouTube came on the spot and then you could get, you know, from your bedroom across the world in, you know, a minute. And, I don't know. It was something that I tried with a cover song that I just loved a lot. I did my own version of Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. And, you know, they were just my favorite band at the time. I wasn't really thinking anything of it. And then I posted it and it just, you know, it got some attention that I just did not expect. I think the Ellen DeGeneres Show picked it up and like wanted to put it on their website. So they did. And then, you know, I just figured, well, you know, it worked with one and might as well do this anyway. And I ended up getting my first management out of it. And we just kind of decided together that this was going to be a good route to go because we kind of saw a bunch of other YouTubers starting to use YouTube as a method of basically just a digital stage. And, yeah, so, you know, I think now I've got over 100 covers up there and it's, you know, some of them have like more success than others, but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I would strongly encourage, you know, anyone who wants to do that and, you know, thinks they have something awesome, to share it on YouTube because you never know who's going to see it. You know, Selena Gomez saw mine and passed me on to her parents at the time. And then that was my management and that's how things got started that way. And, yeah, it's just an incredible thing. You know, it can be so good for some people, so bad for some people, but if you use it for good, then it tends to work. So, you know,
well, you know, you're modest cause you're saying some has more success than others, but I mean, your covers tend to have anywhere from like 1 million to 24 million views.
Yeah.
Such a sexy I know it.
And, you know, sexy. I know.
Modesty.
It was such, well, I also, you know, another thing I guess you should know about me is that, I pretty much work with my family. So my dad right now is my manager and my brother is my drummer and my, that. You know, just a bunch of stuff. So I'm, if I'm not modest or not humble, they aren't doing their job.
I was going to say, and sure they'll probably be the first to let you know. Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly. So, but no, you know, Sexy, I Know It. And like all that stuff was just such a, you just never know that's going to happen. And, you know, obviously like, if you're a YouTube artist or anyone that is just putting stuff on YouTube, you know, you want a viral video. That's what you want, no matter what you say. But, you know, I just kind of learned from Sexy I Know It that you can't really plan them like that. You know, if you want like a true one, it's just got to be people liking it. And you know, a certain person shares it or like a celebrity shares it or something. That's just kind of how it happens.
Yeah, I find that really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
You know, what's really good about covers, too, is that, I mean, especially if you're picking popular songs, I mean, they're going to be searched for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a great way for people to continually find you and discover you. Mm-hmm. And then the hope is that then they go into check out your own personal work.
I always tell people that, you know, if they're asking advice or something, I always tell them, you know, make sure you've got all your bases covered. And, you know, I'm not like the shining example of using every social media tool out there. You know, I have my select few that I like doing more than anything. But I just feel like if you're a band, or, you know, a solo artist or whatever, and this is something you really want to do for a living, you don't really have a choice. You need to, like the live show and all of the groundwork and, you know, just hitting the pavement and like getting out there, all of that is just as important. And I think that builds a lot of experience, but at the same time, if you have no online presence, or anything, you know, on YouTube or Facebook or anything like that, then you're really missing a whole chunk of your audience that, you know, for me is probably most of my audience, you know, like that's where they are, is online, and then they come to shows and stuff. So I don't know. I just feel like if you're not, you know, really trying to do that, then I don't know. You're kind of missing the mark right there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can definitely agree with that. I think so many artists now, they build the initial kind of audience on online, and then that hopefully transitions into, mm-hmm. you know, real life, I guess we can call
yeah
it.
Well, I mean, you know, one example I guess would just be, you know, like I'm always trying to build audiences at live shows and stuff, but one place that has kind of been easier than others is just Europe. Like, you know, I've been doing these covers and my own stuff for a while, and for so many years, I was never touring overseas. And, you know, over time, just fans just build up over there that you had no idea about. And you can run analytics and stuff on YouTube and try to pinpoint where all your fans are, but you really don't know until you're there. And I went to Germany recently and, you know, basically sold out almost every show that I had there. And it was just, it was complete shock. And, it was awesome. But you know, they're all fans from YouTube or Glee or, you know, stuff you just don't see here. And they're also just very, you know, adamant about music still over there. So that's refreshing.
Yeah. Well, actually, since you brought Glee up, I'd be really interested to find out a bit more. So in 2015, you landed a feature role in Glee. So I think you were in, was it 12 episodes or the entire series?
I was in 12 of 13 episodes. Yeah. For the season.
Cool. So, can you tell us maybe a little bit about the experience and what you learned from it that you use now as a singer-songwriter?
I think, so the way it kind of happened, the way it all kind of came to be, you know, I was not looking to do any kind of acting or anything like that. And it just wasn't something that was on my radar. You know, I was very focused on music and touring and stuff. And I was actually on tour at the time. But I got a phone call just from the Glee casting department, which is strange. But they called and basically just said, you know, we're having trouble finding this certain, you know, person for this role that we're trying to cast. And she said, I'm looking for a chubby, shy kid with like a really soulful voice. And I was just like, okay, hey. So, you know, I sent in like a self-tape audition and it all just kind of worked out. I ended up going out to LA and auditioning in person in front of the creator, Ryan Murphy. And I guess he liked me. They told me when I was auditioning for, like, you know, you stand on a stage and audition in front of like four or five different people, all producers. And, you know, the casting director told me, cause they were kind of giving me just like a little, like what to expect. Cause I'd never done anything like that. And they told me, they said, it's going to look like while you're performing for them, it's going to look like they hate you. Like they're going to look awful. And I was like, whatever. It's not going to be a big deal. And sure enough, I was performing and it looked like he just hated me. But next day I get a call saying I got the part. So was very happy about that. But yeah, it was, you know, I basically had to move from South Carolina to Los Angeles on 2 days' notice and just packed up everything and went out there and lived there for about 7 months shooting the show. And the whole time, you're kind of in this like, okay, yeah, cool. Like I'm here, you know, because I auditioned and I got the part. So like, you know, you're like, you're a little bit of you is just like, cool, I deserve to be here. But then the rest of you is like, okay, I've never acted before in my whole life. I have no idea how to do TV. I hope these people are going to be super kind and like teach me stuff on the fly. And it was absolutely that way. They were so, so good to me. You know, the crew was amazing. All the cast was amazing. So really it was just a fantastic time. And I guess if I learned something from it, it was probably just knowing that there are so many different ways now to get seen and get your music out there. Because, you know, basically what happened is, you know, I had put out my first album a couple years ago. And I went on Glee and, you know, I even got a bump in, you know, likes and shares and sales from that album because people see me on Glee and then they look you up. So there's so many different avenues that you can take now. And, you know, acting was just cool. It was just fun to do. And I would love to do it again if it was the right part. But, you know, it was kind of that perfect storm of just right timing, and, you know, just right people. So, yeah, I was very happy with it.
What's Ryan Murphy nice. Like? I think awesome. I think he. I love American Horror Story. Huge fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think he does some really good stuff.
Yeah, no, he's brilliant. He's you know, he's definitely he's a different type of guy. You know, he's definitely brilliant. I mean, American Horror Story is great. It's really good.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your stuff. You have a single out, Pardon Me, and your new EP is coming out soon. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that and where everyone can get that.
Right. So we literally just released the new single. Like you said, it is called Pardon Me. And, you know, that's on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon and everywhere, really. Spotify and all that stuff. And, yeah, right now we're still working on the album. We're still kind of deciding between an EP or an album. It looks like we may have enough songs for an album, but, you know, you just kind of, once you're done with all of them, I'm just going to kind of sit back and figure that out.
Of course.
But yeah, I'm really hoping like end of summer to have that out, if not sooner. But you know how it goes. It just, it's constantly like
reworking. It has to come first. It has to be, it has to be right. Exactly. Are you planning to tour that in the fall?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I cannot wait to get back on the road.
Where are you looking to go?
Anywhere. We're definitely going back to Europe in September. We got some dates in Germany. I have some in the UK. So super excited about that. But then also just, you know, all across the US is what we're looking for. And, you know, we did that last year, so I'm pretty sure that can happen again. It's just, you know, you go on the road for so long and then you get tired and burn out being on the road. And you're just like, man, there's nowhere else that I'd rather be than home. So you finally get home. And, you know, you're still working because you're recording and writing and all this stuff. And I still do like a few dates here and there, you know, just to kind of keep my set fresh and all that stuff. But then, boy, you just get you don't realize how much you like being on the road until you're just not on it anymore. So, yeah, I'm very excited to actually get back out and tour some more and meet new people and play for some people. So.
You know, I wonder if it's the connecting, though, that you probably crave and that you miss. It's the connecting with the audience, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everything else you forget about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Until you get back on the road for like a couple months. The, like, shit.
Yeah, it's the connecting, and then it's also just, you know, I don't know, I like to travel. So, yeah, not only are you like making new connections with people and sharing your music with people and hoping that they get it, but you're also seeing places you've never seen.
Absolutely.
And you know, you see them for about 30 seconds, it feels like. But, you know, you see these places that you're like, oh, maybe I'll come back here when I'm not touring.
Right.
No, it's definitely cool.
Noah, are you ready for 20 questions?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do this. All right, here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Ed Sheeran or Sam Smith?
Ooh, Sam Smith.
Okay, I have a Glee question for you.
Okay.
New Directions or Vocal Adrenaline?
Ah, New Directions. Come on.
Education or experience?
Oh, man, that's hard. Experience.
Xbox or PlayStation?
PlayStation.
Simon or Garfunkel?
Simon.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
Magic or music?
Music.
Studio or stage?
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's such different avenues.
Stage.
Lennon or McCartney?
Ooh, McCartney.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Michael Jackson? Or, on the other side of the spectrum, Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson. That was a good one.
Would you rather a comfy bed or The Walking Dead?
Man, I love both. Let's do The Walking Dead. Why not?
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Celine.
Whale or kale?
That one sucks too.
Oh, we know our questions suck.
I guess Kale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Ooh.
Before you answer that, I feel like Bette Midler would be a fan of Glee. I feel like she would watch that. So maybe Bette Midler has watched you. Think about that.
Okay, so Bette. Yeah, we'll do Bette.
And the final question is a question that we are probably going to get rid of after we do 100 episodes, and we're almost there, because it is just too divisive, but it's okay.
Ross or Marcio?
Oh, that's terrible. Why would you ever do that?
Well, do you want to know what's more terrible than that? Is the fact that Ross has won about like 80 of 90. So
oh, man.
So that's why I'm a little bit, not feeling great about myself.
Okay. Well, now, man, let's see.
He's still going to say Ross.
Don't be so sure.
Sometimes I think I'm encouraging the guests to say me. I'm like, come on. And they're like, I still pick Ross. I'm like, wow. Even after I groveled. Oh, my God.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
And do I be nice, or do I just kind of like let it play out the way it's been playing out? That's the hard part. I'll do Marcio.
I got the pity. Thank you, Noah. I need this.
As long as you know that's the reason, whatever.
You don't understand. I need this. I feel like that's worse. Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's get our heads back on.
Let's compose ourselves.
Composure. And I actually want to move into advice section here of our show. And what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started?
I would probably say what I didn't know was how long it will take you, and this is kind of a two-part thing, how long it'll take you to, get your first, like, break, I guess, for lack of a better term. And then also, as a singer-songwriter, how long it takes you to be okay with what you're writing. And that sounds kind of like a little too deep, but, I kind of feel like if you're an artist of any kind, a lot of the stuff you're doing, you're not exactly like happy with, but you know it is good because people tell you it's good. You know what I mean? But it's not exactly where you want it to be. So, I don't know. I think just kind of knowing that, if I knew that ahead of time, like, and it's really such an obvious thing, because obviously, like, as soon as you start something, you're not just going to be the best at it. And you're not going to be, king at what you're doing. But, I wish I could tell like my younger self, even younger now, just be patient, just be super patient. And, we have been, and it's a long road to what I want, because I don't want to be a flash in the pan musician. I want to be doing this for a very long time. So I don't know. I would just say patience is definitely key. Cause everyone's going to have their moment or their time, and you just kind of have to work for it and, not let it slip by either.
And maybe to realize opportunities come and go, but part of success is grabbing onto that opportunity and going for it, because, right. And everyone's on a completely different road. Really is. Right. Ross and I often preach not to compare yourself to other artists, because everyone from the outside looks like they're just doing so much better than you, but they might be looking right back at you and be like, oh, look what they're doing. It's like, just don't worry.
That's something.
Encourage each other.
That's something too. Another thing I wish I could have known is just that it is not a competition. Like, music is not a competition. Songwriting, art in general, it's not a competition. And if you have a genuine love for your craft and a love for art, then you should just be thrilled for anyone that's having any kind of success, or, that's literally getting what's on their heart heard or seen, whatever. But it's definitely not a competition. And I think sometimes you have to remind yourself of that even after you've been doing it for a while.
It happens to the best of us. We all get to that point. We're totally like, wait a minute.
Right.
Oh, so you have friends like that remind you. Yeah. Like, okay.
I'll look at my favorite artists, on Instagram. I'm like, but also as soon as I look at them, I'm like, okay, well, they also have like 5 more years on me. You know, like,
yeah, and it's not even a matter of time. Some people in a year or two get somewhere where, you know, it takes someone 20 years to get. So, I mean, there's just no comparing. It just keep working hard and keep trying different methods, maybe, but stay true to yourself, right? You know, I love everything you're saying. I love your modesty. I like what you stand for. And I want everyone to go find you online, which shouldn't be hard, noahguthrie.com. And on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, it's all only one Noah. That's the number only one Noah. Consistency is key. Roz preaches that, doesn't he?
Yeah, it makes me happy inside. Yeah, I enjoy it very much.
And as for me, I'm working on my second solo album, and you can be a part of that at marcionovelli.com/pledge. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll also find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook I am Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, the Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soul Company, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes to these wonderful companies, so please do check them out because they keep this show alive.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, you can do so from as little as $1 per episode. You'll find all the information at patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
And if we haven't thrown enough at you yet, go to follow us online, Bridge the Atlantic. Just search us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those fun places. And do make sure you let us know what you think of the shows that we put out, particularly this episode, because we're looking to grow and expand and change the show a little bit in a good way. Change obviously usually scares the hell to people, but in a good way. Improvement maybe is the word to use, and we want your opinions and your suggestions, so let's talk.
Awesome. I had no idea what to do. I was like, okay, thanks Marcio. But yeah, seriously, thanks so much for joining us, Noah,
because
like when I heard your music, I loved your voice, was what captured me first. And then, you know, I was listening to more of your music and then I checked out your covers on YouTube. And yeah, I really love everything you're doing. And
awesome.
I love the message you said, you know, about being thrilled for other people's success. I hope, you know, if people take one thing away from this interview, I really want them to take that away, you know.
Yeah.
Be happy for other people. Don't compare yourself to what other people are doing. And, you know, because I think that's, that, you know, we've all got to do that.
Right, absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.